When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we're going to see Dev Patel's directorial debut. It's called Monkey Man. It is an action revenge thriller. This is one of those ones where I turned on the trailer for this, not knowing what it was, and then was just sold after about 15 seconds and turned it right off.
Good, and I haven't seen the trailer, so don't tell me.
Yeah, I don't really know what it's about, but it just looked really interesting. And I also saw the name Jordan Peele show up, who's a producer on this.
Great.
So it's his company, Monkey Paw, which I think is a strong sign of quality here. Hopping over that dog poo, there we go.
Dev Patel, love him.
Dev Patel is great.
Did not know he was directing.
Yes.
I knew he was behind it.
He wrote it as well.
Wow.
Yes, and so I just looked a little bit into this. So this film is obviously a baby of his. It's he felt that the action genre is a bit stale and is often treated a bit badly by studios, so he wanted to write something with a little bit more depth.
And we love action as a genre.
Love it.
And it really has, you know, it had its heyday, the 80s and 90s, really fallen off. Maybe he's the man to
bring
it back.
Yes and no. I mean, there's been in some incredible action since the 90s. You know, The Raid, John Wick has reinvigorated the franchise, as I would say.
But not to say it used to be like one of the biggest genres out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's not as... I think it became very, you know, the superhero thing kind of action movies or what. You know, we don't have big, gritty, cool R-rated movies anymore at the cinema, action movies, like we used to. I welcome this. So it's an interesting story. So it got delayed. He was tried to make it in 2020. The pandemic delayed it. Then it went to, I think, South by Southwest or Sundance or one of the big film festivals. Netflix acquired it when it was finished for big worldwide release, and it was going to be a big movie with him, but then they buried it, right?
Oh.
So according to Dev Patel, he says they didn't really know what they'd bargained for. The actual film itself is a lot denser and it's saying a lot. It's not your usual action scene on page one and then you continue fighting nonstop. It's trying to do a bit more. So they
that's fight and talk from Dev Patel.
I know, right? So they basically tried to bury it, nearly cancelled it, Netflix, and they were also afraid that it was too gritty for Indian audiences, and they felt that it had some socio-political commentary that wouldn't go down well there. So I don't even know what the film is about yet. So this is very interesting. But then Jordan Peele sees it. He saw the movie, and said, "No, this needs to go to cinemas." And so he persuaded personally Universal Pictures to acquire the film from Netflix for 10 million. So Netflix made a loss on this. They bought it for 30. And then Patel later stated that Peele took us from this thing that was brushed under the carpet to putting us on top of the mantelpiece.
Wow!
Yeah, so fair
the
play.
The power of Jordan Peele!
I know, right?
That's phenomenal power. Okay, this movie's got... You've set me up. You set me too high. My expectations are... I just had a mini heart attack.
The mantelpiece!
Yeah, I need to calm myself down because I need to lower... My expectations have just shot through the roof because I already... If you told me Dev Patel was just starring in this, I was already excited.
Enough.
Like, I love him. And I feel like there's always been this talk about him as Bond and, like, I think he'd be the best Bond they've ever had if they cast him. I love him.
I also support this.
So now you've just told me all this and I'm kind of panicking because I feel like it's going to go wrong. So let's go to the film...
I'm excited. I'm as excited as you are.
Don't tell me any more cool stuff about it.
I just want to see a good action film brought to us by good people at the cinema. Is that too much to ask?
And it must be good action as well because unfortunately, we're not making the screening. We're going to the regular screening. But I saw it's in the kind of like IMAX-y type screen as well, which means it must look good or they wouldn't be putting it in there.
Fake IMAX. We don't have real IMAX here in Cork.
Right, we'll be back after we've seen this film.
See
it's
you in
also
a minute.
Extremely windy because there's a storm here this weekend.
Oh,
so
yes.
Apologies.
Yes. Apologies for any windy audio. Okay,
it's 110 miles an hour.
We're off to Monkey Man from Monkey Paw. Bye.
Bye.
Do you remember me? Do you even know my mother's name? Do you know any of their names? When I was a boy, they took everything from me. The rich don't see us as people. To them, we're animals.
Both of us. We're broken.
If a man wishes to challenge the gods, he must become more than a man. He must become a beast.
All right, hi, we're back. We've seen the film Monkey Man, and we're very excited to talk about
it. Wow.
But before we do, if it's your first time here at the Cinema Isle, welcome. Glad to have you here. We won't spoil this film at all until we do, which happens at Spoiler Street, and you will be warned.
You will be warned.
So if you just want to hear some spoiler-free, glowing recommendations, then strap in.
If you want to hear
this is a great movie.
Rave about a film for the next 5 hours or so.
We just kept turning to each other
and going,
during this
wow.
movie. I go, yeah, going, wow. And I was like, whispering,
like,
this is amazing.
Did Dev Patel direct this on his own? Is there another director?
Yeah.
Like, how is he this good a director? He's never directed anything.
He's done a great job.
Because I knew you said he'd like been involved in like directed and stuff, but like because the credits don't come up at the beginning, by the end I was like, it's so good, yeah, there must be a co-director. Like, I was expecting more names. And obviously he wrote it with other people, but like
he wrote it with the guy who wrote Happy Feet. I've just learned
we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's a phenomenal film. Dev Patel is phenomenally talented. He would be wasted as a Bond.
He's better than
he's
Bond.
He's too good to be tied up for the next 15 years playing a character.
Plus Bond, I mean,
he would be the best Bond ever.
Plus Bond is a boring character.
But
I've said this before. He's so boring.
Did you know Dev Patel was an action star? Because I sure didn't.
No, and the world didn't. But Dev Patel knew, and here he is showing us all that he's an action star.
What I find fascinating, right? Allow me for a minute to do some comparative. Dev Patel wrote this film for himself, right?
Can I predict what you're about to say?
Yeah, I knew Blackbird you were about to say. For himself. And
yeah.
Dev Patel, and no shade on Michael Flatley, right?
No, all shade on Michael Flatley.
Dev Patel is phenomenally cool in this film, right? And like, and he's extremely good looking. At no point in this film are any women turning to Dev Patel and being like, God, you're just so sexy. Like, I just can't keep my hands off you. That is very notable to me because I have to say, in Blackbird, Michael Flatley's character was a kind of a subject of lust to young women.
Why that are we talking about Blackbird again?
I'm thinking it's rare to see
a film
that's written, directed, produced, and starring someone who it's their first time doing it.
I think, to
come straight out the bat, I don't know, Dev Patel's a big movie star, so, and Michael Flatley is a really big star for Movie Dance, but it's unusual to see this, right? Someone coming out and doing all these things as a debut.
Yeah, I actually you're dead right. That's a great comparison point, because you look at it, they are very similar projects in that regard. They could both be conceived vanity projects, but there isn't an ounce of vanity on screen in this movie.
I think Dev Patel's like, he's playing an understated character, and he himself is very understated.
Oh, but it's perfect.
We're just gushing. Okay, let's talk about Jan's film.
Oh yeah,
action.
Should we say
incredible.
What it's about?
Yeah. I don't even want to
let's
say too much.
Give
about
it a little bit of a sell to people.
Give it a little bit of a sell.
If you like revenge action thrillers. I think that's essentially all you need to know.
But as Dev Patel himself said, a bit of depth to it.
Yes, there is. There is
more than you're expecting.
Now it's not. You know, you're not gonna. It's not. It still is just a very, you know, popcorny, entertaining, violent action movie. But it does, to be fair, have a lot more to say. There's social commentary. I personally don't think, and we'll talk about it in Spoiler Street, it goes into any of the social commentary in much depth. But I don't think it needs to or should. It is first and foremost a sort of action.
Revenge
story about a personal man, and there is a backdrop to all this socio-political commentary which does reflect the modern landscape of Indian politics, which admittedly neither of us are experts on, but from the little I know Modi, the Prime Minister there, who's a globally controversial figure in some regards.
There's definitely layers in there.
There's shades of it being spoken about here.
If you like Rambo, if you like John Wick,
also had political commentary.
If you like Mission Impossible, any of those kind of movies,
there's shades of all that.
This is your movie.
But a lot sort of more street level, a lot more sort of underworld, you know, gritty, dark sort of, you know, dark alleys and people like handoffs and little contacts and underground. Like, it felt like a beautifully lived in world. It's set in India. I don't think they ever named the city.
They didn't. It was just kind of like a city in India.
But it feels so incredibly alive. And I've just learned as well, they didn't shoot it in India. They shot it in an island in Indonesia. So even more impressive that you know, he intended to infuse, he says, you know, some culture into this. So it feels very rich with sort of folklore, Indian folklore and mythology. There's mention of, you know, the gods. Monkey
it's
Man
shocking.
Itself is rooted in some mythology.
Shocking that Netflix wanted to can this.
I know, Netflix.
And they're like, what are you thinking?
And meanwhile, Netflix are making things like Red Notice, which admittedly I haven't seen but don't want to. Things like, just like these bland, boring, down the middle action films.
It's fascinating because at the end of the day, like, Dev Patel's one of the most highest profile Asian actors, like, outside of Bollywood, right?
Yeah.
Netflix, tell us it's not racist. What are you canning
the
here?
The executives were wrong on this one.
They're
massively
so
wrong. Yeah.
If this was a Ryan Gosling-led project at a film of this standard, this film would not have been canned.
Well, no, but something more interesting is happening there, because I don't think it's necessarily as easy to say that they were just racist, because they bought it. They've spent $30 million on it after it had been completed. So somebody there believed in it. But somebody then got scared when they saw, like, and I think Dev Patel's probably right, having watched it, they got more than they thought they were getting. And I think somebody got scared about the politically charged nature of it.
But what was that movie that we reviewed a few years
ago? And Netflix is just a giant corporation. They're not going to be, they don't like taking risks.
What was the movie we saw a couple of years ago? And it was one of the Chris's and one of the Ryan's.
I know exactly what you mean. The Grey Man. So boring.
It was so boring. And I remember at the time,
that's one of the most expensive films they ever made.
I believe they each got paid like $20 million to be in it or something like that. So on salaries alone, they paid more for that film, which is nothing on this film in terms of,
so forgettable.
Just the quality of action, nothing else.
Yeah.
This film should have been in the cinema though, and I love that Jordan Peele came to rescue it. I don't even know how to talk about it without spoiling it.
No, we'll get to spoilers, except that I give this the highest recommendation. I don't think it's perfect. I think there are some flaws I'll speak to in Spoiler Street. Like, I think one thing that stood out to me was that the film itself evokes the name of John Wick in the text, in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they reference John Wick, which is, so it's like, it is a nod to that, but it also you know, in that scene points that we're kind of not John Wick. We're doing something a little different, but we're in that territory. It wants to let you know where you stand, and I think it has a lot of shades of John Wick about it. But the thing that
I just kept thinking Rambo.
The thing that this movie, there's shades of Rambo for sure, but the thing, I think the action scenes in this movie compared to John Wick don't quite stack up. I mean, I like the clarity that you get in the John Wick movies. The choreography is at a level which is just above this. But when you consider that this is a first-time director,
unbelievable.
Like, I think he's done an incredible job here. But the thing,
and
that
as someone
this movie,
who's not a John Wick fan like you, and I think you've only seen the first one, and I don't really remember it. to me, the action sequence were phenomenal.
No,
it's interesting you said in the intro that, like, and I agree with you, that, like, superhero movies kind of took over the action genre, or, like, scratched that itch, I guess, for people.
They're worse.
Oh, so much worse. I always find them so boring because of all the CGI. Whereas this whole film is, like, people fighting each other in really interesting ways. And, like, the kind of fun, like, some of it borders on, like, some of it's very violent and unpleasant, I will say. Like, you know, it's 16s in Ireland, and I wouldn't recommend it for anyone under 16.
Agreed.
Some of it's very violent and gory, some of it's unpleasant, particularly, like, some violence towards women. But some of the scenes then are kind of cartoonishly fun. Fun, violent, like, really creative fights and people using funny things as weapons.
And I'd love to talk about that in spoilers, which I think is a hallmark of the John Wick films and films like that, like Nobody and all those kind of things. But I just to clarify my point, I think this movie's action is fantastic, incredibly good. But unfortunately, we live in a world where the bar has been raised 4 times now by John Wick movies. So,
but only to people who've seen them.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, but even the people who've seen and know the John Wick movies can come here and enjoy this film.
Yeah.
But the things that this film does better than those movies is, number one, it's got a lead actor who can... I love Keanu Reeves, by the way, but he cannot deliver any emotional complexity or depth.
Dev Patel, you just want to put your arms around him and give him a cuddle in this film. 100%.
I mean, I felt for this character and believed in his struggles far more than I ever did. John Wick is just two-dimensional, like, in terms of his characterization.
That's why I think the writing's so good in this, because I think they just... without labouring on his backstory too much, I think it was masterful how they managed from a directorial perspective and a writing perspective to balance both a backstory and a present story in a really good way.
I completely agree. And that's the story in this film is far more engaging than any of the John Wick movies.
Yeah.
The world is more grounded, more believable, more like, just felt like, and the other thing is, he feels vulnerable. For a lot of this
really
movie, he feels incredibly vulnerable. John Wick is a superhero.
Yeah.
So for me, while the sort of minute-to-minute shooting of the action scenes and the clarity and the choreography is... I mean, but John Wick is just at a next level. And I think Dev Patel, if he continues down this path, would reach that level.
He used to rebel, but in those scenes where he was being incredible, to actually think that he was both... looked like to me during majority-owned action scenes. He's both directing and doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's something else, though.
Like,
to put it back to Blackbird... they built a lot of that film up to a fight scene, and then the camera cut away.
They don't show
and then
you
we
the
came back and someone had been beaten up by Michael Flatley. Because Michael Flatley was like, do you know what? I can't even be bothered trying to do this scene.
No,
we'll just scrap it.
Dev Patel did the work.
Point is like flipping up in the air and spinning around kicking someone. And it's definitely him doing it. He at one point scales a wall. Like he's so physical in
this
film.
He's fit and wiry.
I never thought of him in that kind of a role. Maybe he's done them and I've not seen them. Whereas I've always seen him as incredibly vulnerable. Like, remember that film, was it Lion? The Australian one?
Oh, that
one?
Was a beautiful film, yeah.
Like, he's so good in that. Like, I've always thought of him as a very vulnerable actor. I've never thought of him as, like, an action star. And so I think the pairing of him doing both is also why it always really worked for Sylvester Stallone doing, like, the Rockies and the Rambos, because he always felt vulnerable, whereas, like, an Arnold Schwarzenegger never did.
I just feel like he's at a level that like Hugh Jackman or someone is operating on, where they can just flick between drama or action.
Have
and
you
I
seen
feel
him
like
in musicals?
If he can sing and dance,
can he?
Dev Patel, then he's got everything.
Because you know what I thought in the cinema? I don't know why I thought this.
What?
I was like, oh my god, he'd have been such a good Ken.
Oh
I
yeah, that would be interesting.
I could see it, except for one thing, which is I don't know if he can sing, but I'm just guessing he can.
Anyway, look, we've gushed enough. We're going to go on to sort of spoiler street now. Before we do, we're just going to take a quick break. You may hear an ad. Okay, welcome back. We are now on spoiler street. We just turned onto it for Monkey Man.
Hopefully people behind us are not listening or have seen Monkey Man.
Do not get spoiled for Monkey Man. Spoilers now for Monkey Man, last chance.
It's really hard to describe, like, I was saying to Dave, the plot was much richer than I was expecting and more was happening. But the kind of, I think what's very interesting, and we talked about it already, is like the juxtaposition of like, you're giving us enough of his backstory to know there's more beneath the surface, but then they kind of wait to this moment in the end where they like really give it to us and he confronts it, And like my number one thing that I dislike in films, like number one bar nothing, is drug scenes.
Yeah.
So boring. The second someone takes some drug and they start tripping or going on some sort of journey, it's like, oh, here we go.
You left to go to the toilet.
I actually at that point was like, I need the toilet, I'm going to go. But I came back, and actually I think the film built up to it appropriately. And I love that they, you know, like any good fight film, he had a master who helped him on that journey. And in this case, his master was actually a trans woman. And I love the story of like Dev Patel and the trans community like coming together to kind of fight against the badness in the city.
So interesting.
It was so I've never seen that.
So unexpected
ever.
As well.
Yeah, it was
I've never called it. And then that whole thing, which I did not. A lot of this movie, you could say, fits into tropes or you've seen before. And again, not to criticize, because I think this elevates all of its tropes. But like that scene where like these trans warriors come out in these
so cool
like in these like metal dresses.
It was amazing,
I've never seen this before. This is fantastic.
It was so cool. And I love as well that I think he did need the master, like he needed someone to kind of control the beast and like direct him, you know, and he
give
was
him
like
purpose,
like he's when the I don't know, were they like a church or what were they, the group of people who found him, he was been like bullet ridden, he's full of, you know, he's in the water, they save him. And they're like, you should have died and you didn't, so we think there's a higher purpose for you. And he kind of just needs help in getting that out of himself. And I love that his master had like a really feminine energy, because I think Dev Patel's character, the whole film is him missing his mom. He loves his mom. And it seemed like he never had a dad around. So he had that, he really responds that kind of feminine energy. And he responds so well. And I love the guy who was like on the drums doing like the male and female drumming.
I was about to say
and
that
he started doing all, I was like, this is, wait, now it's Karate Kid, like what's happening, this is so cool.
But there's like, you know, there's, you can really like dig into a lot of that symbolism, right? And you're right in this whole idea of balance, the balance between masculinity and femininity, and you know, the film is clearly criticizing a number of things. Excess capitalism, land grabbing, industrialization. You know, they mentioned that sort of spiritual guru guy has set up a factory on this land,
essentially a cult as well in there.
Cult, it's commenting on sort of religious fervor and fanaticism, and also far right sort of extremist politics. You know, we've got this very prominent. You know, it's all, the finale is all set around the rise of this sovereign party who are linked with all this. Yeah, and there's so there's a risk that, you know, they mentioned that the trans community has been targeted in the background. But yeah, I love that idea of this sort of this internal balance and sort of masculinity and femininity working together. Like the film is tapping into sort of a rich vein of ideas, and also this cultural backdrop of Hindi mythology was kind of fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, I loved all that. I loved how the film opened with him and his mom when he's a little kid, and she's telling him that story about someone grabbing the sun.
Yes.
And eating it. And it's when we meet him, he's so downtrodden, like he's in this nasty fighting group, which, by the way, I can't remember that actor, the South African actor, but I love
Charlton Copley.
He's so good as the kind of ringmaster. And he's so, Dev Patel, so down and out. And then when he's tries to get the job with Queenie, who I thought was so good, you're like, what's he up to? Like, you suddenly get a sense of like, okay, this is for more than just a job and for more than just money, even though you can tell he's really poor. And I love like this kind of like Mission Impossible style or whatever it is. He's like, I need to get promoted. So then he's like, to your man, you go and bet on Monkey Man.
Loved all that.
I actually felt like they were really friends and really cared about each other, which I also wasn't expecting to feel. So he made that relationship. Then all the stuff with him and the dog. Like, there was such, like, there was a training montage where I kind of realized halfway through the training montage that he was both learning how to shoot and he was training a dog to fetch the gun for him.
That's great.
That was so good. My favorite training montage is obviously the one when he's in the kind of,
with the punching bag and the commune,
the tree, whatever that room was.
So good.
That was, but it was so funny because when, you know, the way when he was, there was like a citywide manhunt for him. You haven't even gotten into how fun that stuff was when he put the bleach in your man's coke.
That
he
was
tries to kill him in the bathroom.
From that moment onwards, in that whole
so
middle section,
good.
Was I thought the best action scene. I thought that was actually better than the climax, which was also fantastic.
I think it's because it went so shockingly wrong. Because I actually thought that he was going to kill him and then other stuff was going to happen. But I hadn't thought it was going to go that badly for him.
But it just felt, he felt so vulnerable. He's at the top of this building, has to get out, which also had shades of The Raid, which we mentioned earlier. He's got to get out of this building. He is completely up against it in terms of odds. Also, the bit I love, that the biggest laugh of the movie is when he tries to jump out the window and it just doesn't smash.
The audience was laughing at that.
I think that's Dev Patel winking at the audience and saying, like he said in that statement, you know, this isn't your typical action movie. We're trying to do something different. And it was the same with that John Wick scene where the guy's like, the arms dealer is like, this is the gun that John Wick uses. And he's like, no, I'm just going to take this much smaller sort of one. And he can't shoot. Like, John Wick is an expert shooter.
Yeah, he has to teach himself how to shoot.
So it that just grounds it more. And I just, like, when... And then he's out. He gets out of the building somehow. Then he's in the city. The car chase. And, you know, it just keeps
going. The helicopter chasing. It was, like, edge of your seat kind of stuff. And then I love when he's in the kind of beautiful tree space. And he's obviously, like, I grew up in the jungle. And, like, it seemed... For him, it's like... He, all his childhood memories are like him and his mom, like kind of in their bare feet in the woods looking at trees. Like, the city's like not his natural home. So when he goes back to this kind of incredible place that they all live in with the trees, and he's doing the punching bag thing. At that point though, I was like, so when he was, the citywide manhunt had been like, it's 45 days to Diwali, right? So you're telling me in 45 days.
I thought it was 35.
Or even, okay, even worse.
I think it was 35.
Just through a punch bag and, like, yes, admittedly, some phenomenal drumming, that Dev Patel became that good a fighter. Because he was never fighting against anyone.
No,
he was only punching a punch bag and then helping other people punch punch bags.
No, but Kathy, here's the thing. Okay, first of all, I'm not going
to... Because he learns how to be, like he learns, like, when he's fighting the guy with the club, the giant guy, when he goes back in the ring, which is awesome, he learns how to pull himself so he's a millimetre away at all times from this club that's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
Who practiced that on him?
No, but listen, I'm not, like, obviously that's a little absurd, but what I will have an attempt at defending it. The thing that changed wasn't that he just had a lot of training, right? Because he had been he'd been fighting for who knows how long in this ring. He knows how to fight. The thing that changed was his mind.
His
mind and heart changed because he's fighting now with purpose and clarity, and it's
so
not
good.
So that's what changed, and now obviously that's still absurd that he can go into just take down an entire, like, 19 story building of people, like, and you're also like, why don't you just shoot him, guys?
It was it's funny, in the first fight between him and the police officer, I was like, today,
we haven't even spoken about it. He was amazing.
He's doing so badly. And Dave's like, well, that guy's way bigger than him, and he's like a way better fighter because he's a policeman. I was like, oh yeah, because in my head Dev Patel was gonna... I liked that Dev Patel got his ass whooped, albeit at the time I was very upset. But I love that
he was
put
getting
bleach
his hits
in his coke,
in.
Though. That was great.
So good.
In fact, but I thought your man would have been more ill from that. But he seemed to recover. I guess he's just got really good reflexes. He's a violent guy anyway.
Maybe he's been microdosing bleach for years.
He was such a good villain, though. And I think, and we're rambling, but like, I think that's one of the things that made this film, and what makes a revenge film really good, is you've got his wonderful character of his mother, who was obviously such a good mom and an amazing person. And then you've got this evil, evil villain, who, to be honest, even without the mom stuff, I'd have hated, because he just was so gross, like when he was around the women in the bar and all the stuff with these women who I believe are in like forced sex work. I don't think it's voluntary on their part. And I think it's trafficking, but it's kind of alluded to, but you don't really know. And then he's kind of involved and all that, so he's so gross anyway. But then the stuff with the mom and the scene with the mom, you just wanted Dev Patel to just fucking kill him. But what I'm just disappointed by is that when Dev Patel was doing it, he never said...
Kills him with a woman's shoe.
I love the woman's shoe. I love every bit about the fight scenes, all the random props he was taking. But he never said, my mom's the one who gave you that scar in your ear. That's what I thought he was going to say. Because that's the only way he'd have remembered his mother. He'd have remembered who gave him that scar.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, like, once he said, my mother sends the regards or whatever, but, like, if you're killing in somebody's name, you need to let the person you're killing know.
You need to
otherwise
say,
the revenge isn't fulfilled.
You need to be very, very clear and express, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed
exactly
my father. Prepare to die.
I actually agree. And, like, this man's awful. He's evil. He's probably killed dozens of people. But if he said, my mother's the woman who gave you that scar, and I was waiting for him to say it. And I'm sorry, Dev Patel, you needed my notes on your script for that one point.
Sorry, you really missed out there. What else?
It's so satisfying. And then the evil guru guy.
He wasn't as good a villain as the. I feel like he was a little background as the final
he's
boss.
He's just like a sim. He was just like a symbol of a corrupt city, much like the political party leader.
Yeah.
Because Dev Patel has no interest in them. Dev Patel just wants. Well, no, sorry. The guru guy was behind the land. The guru guy stole the land, so he did want to get him. But I thought it was interesting when he saw the politician, he just left him. He had no interest in him. But the guru guy was a bit unsatisfying, right? Because at one point, I didn't really understand the scene when he and the police officer were like talking, and he's like, get rid of the boy. One bad egg can bring the whole city down.
It was just a bit boring.
What are you talking about? And also, they wouldn't have necessarily, like, the police, how did the policeman know that it was connected? Because Dev Patel never told him.
They didn't know it was connected.
So why
the guy was just saying all it takes is one person to go against you with something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, some
one
of it...
One person who's done a 35-day training montage.
I don't think this film is airtight. Like, I'm not saying this is just like... But it is...
But nothing's airtight when you unpick it.
No, exactly.
We're just unpicking it for fun.
But you gotta remember, this is just... I think it is still very much saying this is a kind of action B-movie. With just a bit more depth to it, and
elevated by the acting though, because all the acting was phenomenal.
Acting is great.
Dev Patel's a star, like absolute standout, like incredible actor. Like this is the kind of role where like if he was Oscar nominated, you'd be like, oh yeah, he deserves that.
But just to have an action movie like here, I completely agree with you. Have it be thinking a little bit more about like imagery and symbolism. Like it dwells a lot on the bleach. You know,
and the way it
weaves that in is so clever. Firstly, he takes his name from it, Bobby's Bleach, and then the bleach is a symbol of a cleaning of something. You know, he's cleaning the city.
And then he says it's what happened to his hands. Obviously, we learn later on it's not.
But also he bleaches the monkey mask later. You know, he's bleaching.
But he says it to her, the baddie. He says like, "This is bleach. I'm the one who'll do the dirty work for you," and that gets him the job. His scars get him in the door. I love that scene when pickpockets her, and then like 20 people get handed the wallet before it gets.
I know, right?
That was so Mission Impossible. That was fun.
What a lovely way to sort of simple way to express how alive this world is that we're living in.
Yeah.
There is such this network of people on the street underneath all these like the people in the penthouse. Like it's a very simple way to express. Community, underworld crime, and sort of a downtrodden working class, and the film does that effortlessly, consistently.
Yeah.
We often see people just lying in the streets sleeping,
and like huge amounts of people sleeping together in rooms. Do you know this film is so tight on the script? It there was loads in it. Not for a moment did it ever lag, and also. Did it ever overstay its welcome? Like I'd have watched more of it.
Well, he had two. I agree, but he had two screenwriters, experienced screenwriters, working with him.
Yeah,
on
which you should and have. Like anyone who doesn't,
exactly.
it's an error. Like, like when you're at a film and it's going on too long, it's like they needed more support, like with script. It's interesting because I find the story very interesting. I'm now obsessed. I want to go off and like watch videos of it. It's the kind of thing back in the day you'd have bought the DVD and you'd watched all the behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to know how they coordinated the fight scenes. I want to know what inspired him to write the story. I want to know what inspired him. Like, I just love it.
Anyway, we should wrap it up.
We should wrap it up, but do we think he died at the end?
I don't know, but I like that they left it open because this has franchise potential, and I know that's a dirty word.
I don't
but
want it I to would, be a franchise, though.
But I would happily watch something else with more Monkey Man. Or
but I think my hope is, because the guy's like, you can do it. Like, my hope is that he'll have killed this police officer and that, like, his demons might lie a bit. Like, I don't want his character to continue in this violence. Like, I want him to, like, have a better life for himself. So, my hope is for the character.
I don't know. I would watch another one of these.
I just want to see, like, Dev Patel write something completely different out and do something completely different.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I don't want to see a sequel to this.
Well, look,
I loved it.
What a movie. We both loved it.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear what you all thought. Let us know.
I hope it does well.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at any numbers. I don't know either. But I'd say this will do pretty good numbers. and then we'll just have legs in terms of recommendations.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
We're surely going to send some people. Go, please go to this and tell
I
all your friends.
And I think it's the kind of thing that will do...
Support it at the
whatever
cinema.
Whatever it does in the cinema will do 10 times after on demand.
Yeah, exactly. And also just fair play to Jordan Peele for championing this.
I wonder
as well.
If Netflix sold it on the condition that they get on the on-demand rights then. Probably not, though, if it's Universal.
Netflix can go... fuck themselves, right? Honestly. They don't deserve any of the success of this film. Honestly. They can just, like, do one. So, if you come chat to us, please. Let us know what you thought.
No, because in fairness to them, they did sell it to Jordan Peele.
Yeah, but they were trying to kick it. They were trying to bury it or cancel it.
Yeah.
Like, have faith in the thing
understand.
That you purchase.
I don't understand how if I was a Netflix executive, I'd sit and watch this and go, nah.
But I mean,
what planet are you on?
It's very easy for us to write off Netflix. Netflix did that. But there are, like, probably hundreds of decision makers there.
No, I said Netflix executives.
Yeah, but then you had one executive or several who clearly did think, this is, I'm going to spend $30 million on this.
Yeah.
And you clearly had someone either overrule them or it changed hands. Like, that's just any big company, this happens.
Yeah.
But Netflix can still go do one as a whole. Right, come let us know.
Also, this podcast is sponsored by Netflix.
come
sorry,
chat to
guys.
Let us know what you thought of Monkey Man. And we're at thecinemile@gmail.com if you want to email us, or at thecinemile on Letterboxd or all the where else are we? YouTube, yeah.
Come
chat to us on any of those things. Instagram, or join our Patreon, patreon.com/thecinemile. And we're just about to watch RoboCop over on our Patreon, so head on over there. The episode will be up very shortly.
I think
to
RoboCop
that.
And Monkey Man go well together.
The great pairing.
Yeah.
Yes. Both
Blackbird, trippable.
Both people who have been hard done by giant corporations and corruption, coming back and overcoming their directives. Blackbird, you just had to get a mention in for Blackbird. One more at the end. Shout out to Michael Flatley.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.